Shalom. Thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Come spend the Sabbath with us. Beth Emmanuel meets every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. We meet at 828 3rd Street in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin, only 25 minutes from downtown St. Paul. For more information, click on the Services tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
I want to begin today's message with a review from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 12. Where it says, and one of the scribes, this is verse 28, by the way, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Yeshua answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, you're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the whole sacrificial service. And when Yeshua saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God, which is to say, you're not far from the Messianic era. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are not far from the festival of Rosh Hashanah. So as I mentioned, tonight begins the days of Slichot, the last days before the holiday during which we offer prayers of apology and petition for forgiveness, before we must face the day of judgment, the awesome holy day of the shofar, yes? And in this season, we exchange the greeting with one another, may you be inscribed for a sweet new year, because we anticipate that on Rosh Hashanah, the heavenly court will convene the judgment for the coming year, and decide the verdict for the coming year. So on Rosh Hashanah, we even have the custom, the sweet custom of eating apples dipped in honey as a symbol of the sweetness of the new year that we hope Hashem is going to bring us. And many other ritual foods, and many other customs as well. And we pray for a good coming year on Rosh Hashanah. And it reminds us that we are utterly dependent on God, that all things come to us, not by our own effort, but by Him, by His mercy, by His grace. As Yochanan HaMitvil, John the Immerser, says, a person cannot receive even one thing, not even one thing, unless it is given to him from heaven. And we trust that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's what James, the brother of the Master, says. And according to the Talmud, on the holy day of Rosh Hashanah, the heavenly court convenes and opens the books of judgment, and the judge takes his seat on the throne, and the prosecuting attorney, the devil, is there. You know, the word Satan, Satan, is Hebrew for accuser or prosecutor. He's in the courtroom to accuse each person of their sins. In the courtroom, the court opens three books, the book of life. And all the names of the truly righteous are recorded in the book of life. And the book of death, and all the names of the completely wicked are written in the book of death. And the third book, the book of the in-between, and all the names of the normal people who are not completely righteous or completely wicked are written in this third book. They are in between the book of life and the book of death. And the heavenly court begins to examine each case, each of the names in the book of the in-between. Their job is to move all the names from that book into one of the other two books. And by the end of Yom Kippur, 10 days later, everybody's name is sealed either in the book of life or in the book of death. And there are no names left in the book of the in-between. By then, it's a blank book. And every time that the angels are about to write a person's name in the book of life, the devil is there to accuse the person of list all of his sins that the person committed over the previous 12 months. And the devil says, write that person's name down in the book of death, in the book of the wicked. Write that person's name into the book of death, for I have seen his sins. And that's his job. Now, Rosh Hashanah, day of remembrance, all of our sins are remembered. This is why we blow the shofar. Blow the shofar, maybe drown out the devil. Drown out the devil's accusations. When the shofar blows on Rosh Hashanah, God opens the gates of heaven to receive our prayers for forgiveness and repentance and our prayers for mercy. When the shofar blows on Rosh Hashanah, it reminds Hashem of the ram that Abraham sacrificed in the place of his son Isaac, and it reminds him of the suffering and the death of the Messiah Yeshua who died for our sins, because it's a ram's horn. And when the shofar sounds, it reminds us to repent, and that we have 10 days left until Yom Kippur, when that judgment will be sealed either in the book of life or the book of death. So on Rosh Hashanah, we repent for our sins and ask God to forgive us. And we pray over these days of repentance, these days of repentance up until Yom Kippur, we pray, inscribe us in the book of life, our Father, our King, tear up the record of our sins, our Father, our King. And to get the most out of the holidays, you know, the rabbis recommend that a person should, should just take some time before Rosh Hashanah, and before Yom Kippur, you take the Machzor, the prayer books for the holidays, and spend a little bit of time actually accustoming yourself to the prayers before the prayer service that you have to deliver them on. You know, kind of get in shape, kind of practice, work out a little bit, so you know what you're going to be. You'll have a little familiarity as you hit those prayers. You only pray them once a year, so they kind of come out of nowhere. You know, and then you're able to, you're not like, if you're a little more familiar with them, you're able to enter the spirit of prayer, which we call kavana, concentration, kavana, I can't, it's like, whatever. they're both right, yeah. Concentration on what you're saying and standing before Hashem. It's you're standing before the King of the universe. Intention. Pray with intention, not just words. The Hasidim say that prayer without kavanah is like a body without a soul. So as a token effort toward that, you know, I think as a token effort, I'm going to read you just a few lines from the classic holiday prayer, Untane Tokef, which is, let us now give credit, let us now observe the power of this day's holiness, this famous prayer. And as you know, this day on which the angels themselves are terrified when they hear the sound of the shofar, and they're trembling, and it says, and the angels will say, behold, the day of judgment, to order the legions above to assemble for judgment, for even the angels will not be acquitted in your eyes in judgment. And all who have come into the world will pass before you like sheep in a flock. Like a shepherd examines his sheep, causing his flock to pass under his staff. So you will cause to pass and count and enumerate and take note of the soul of every living thing and determine the portion of all your creatures and inscribe their allotted judgment. For on Rosh Hashanah it will be inscribed, and on Yom Kippur it will be sealed. How many will pass from the earth, and how many will be formed? Who will live, and who will die? Who in his time, and who before his time? Who by water, who by fire? Who by sword, who by wild animal? Who by famine, who by thirst? Who by storm, who by plague? Who by strangulation? Who by stoning? Who will rest? Who will wander? Who will live in peace? Who will be troubled? Who will enjoy tranquility? Who will suffer? Who will be made poor? Who will be made wealthy? Who will be brought low? Who will be exalted? But repentance, prayer, and charity remove the evil decree. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. These are the three main themes of the high holiday season. Repentance, prayer, and charity remove the evil decree. Now we thank God as messianic people. We thank God for the righteousness of Yeshua our Master. The apostles teach, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Yeshua the Messiah. And this means that we find forgiveness for our sins in the name of our Master. But it does not mean we can get away without repenting, unfortunately. During these 40 days of repentance, we too practice tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Repentance, tshuva, means turning away from our sins and our bad habits and confessing our sins and resolving not to sin again. And we say, let the one who tells lies speak only what is true. And let the one who gossips learn to control his tongue. Let the one who steals return what is stolen and work with his own hands. Let the one who lusts turn his eye away from impurity, and so on and so forth. You go down the list. Repentance calls upon us to die to ourselves, to our self-will, to our selfishness, and to surrender ourselves to Hashem. And it corresponds to the words of the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, all yourself. And it means laying down our lives for his sake. Perhaps, God forbid, literally laying down our lives, if necessary. The second one, tefillah, prayer. Tefillah means you know, it means to pray, but during these days of slichot, these days of apologies, we're praying apologies, and we spend extra time in prayer, confessing our sins, asking God for mercy to help us to improve ourselves. If a man attempts to purify himself, he's helped, it says in the Talmud. How is he helped? Well, Hashem helps him. If you make the effort, you make a little bit of effort. He says, open for me a door of repentance as big as the eye of a needle, and I will open up gates as wide, so it's wide enough to allow camels and elephants to pass through. That's why we pray. We discipline ourselves to pray and to pray sincerely and to do business with God in prayer, imploring Him for forgiveness and pardon. And it's a discipline of the heart. Prayer is the service of the heart, the sages say. It corresponds to the words of the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart, that's where we pray from. And then, of course, tzedakah, righteousness, charity. We give generously during these days. We always give generously. We're the most generous people in the world. But we always, you know, at this time of year, especially so, we feed the hungry. We give our time and our money and all our resources to the work of the kingdom. We give generously. We give abundantly. We give with a good eye, without grumbling, without reluctance. We give to Acts for Messiah. We give to similar ministries. We give to our brothers and sisters in our midst. We give to humanitarian efforts that do the work of the kingdom. We give to our congregation and to worthy ministries that faithfully teach the Torah because we realize this is the only thing actually worth investing in. We give more than we can afford to give. And this giving corresponds to the words of the greatest commandment that say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your might. And this is what we've been studying all summer, isn't it? Sort of been preparing for the high holidays all summer, haven't we? Repentance, prayer, and charity remove the evil decree. And I pointed out to you the last time we were talking about this that virtually every teaching of Yeshua, every teaching of the Gospels, pretty much falls into one of these three categories. He was primarily about repentance, prayer, and charity. No coincidence here. You see, Yeshua foresaw a looming day of judgment hanging over his generation, like Jeremiah the prophet. He foresaw that the stroke of judgment was about to fall. He saw that the evil decree had already been written against his generation. He called it a wicked and adulterous generation. And what is it that removes the evil decree? Repentance, prayer, and charity. So he spent 3 years calling on his generation to repent and to pray and to give of their wealth and material possessions in the hope of removing the evil decree, and instead of judgment and exile and the destruction of the temple, he might bring the kingdom and the messianic era. Likewise, judgment looms ahead for us. In just a few days, we enter Rosh Hashanah, a judgment for this world, pertaining to this world and the coming year. And ultimately, of course, each and every individual human being faces the final judgment. The sages say that the generation of our master perished and went into exile, and the temple was destroyed primarily because of the sin of baseless hatred, which explains why our master emphasized love. Love, 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 love. All he was talking about, love, love, love. And he called on us to love God. This, he said, this is the greatest commandment. And he called on us to love our neighbor. He said, that's equivalent to loving God. It's the second, it's like it, it's like it. You shall love, you shall love. And he was preaching love to reverse the evil decree, to reverse baseless hatred. And the type of love taught by Yeshua, as we have learned this summer, was not some mamby-pamby, it's all groovy type of love, but rather it was a very solid and defined love, as we've been learning, a love upon which all the commandments of the Torah are hanging on this love. The Master's generation was guilty of the sin of baseless hatred. So you wonder, what is baseless hatred? I mean, baseless hatred? It's pointless hatred. Pointless hatred. It's hatred for people that you should love. It's hatred for one another. Fratricide. Hatred between brothers and sisters. Hatred which is expressed in anger, insult, disregard, vengeance, retributions, malice, and unkindness, haughtiness, greed, and selfishness, evil speech, slander, deceit, bitterness, holding bitterness, and murder, and murderous thoughts in our hearts. And the antidote for baseless hatred, Yeshua teaches, is the second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says it this way. He says in Galatians, he says, the whole Torah, you can take the whole Torah, and the whole Torah is fulfilled in one commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. However, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. The Master's generation was consumed by one another. And they were judged for the sin of baseless hatred. So, we should learn from this. It should not be the same for us. We are supposed to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with reconciliation, with forgiveness, loving one's fellow, right? We know that. As we come into these, you know, we're coming into the critical time when we're supposed to be making amends and reconciling with anyone that we've wronged or sinned against. And so this is a period of time when, you know, this is where we pray the slichot prayers. You know what slichot means? Slichot means apologies. It's apology time when we try to restore relationships and make peace. Inasmuch as it depends on us, it says in Romans, making peace with all men, inasmuch as it depends upon us. Meaning we go the extra mile, we offer apologies, even regarding incidents where we feel that we were in the right and the other person was in the wrong. Have you ever done that? You just feel like, you know, I don't really feel like I should have to apologize because it's really not my fault, but I'm going to be the bigger person and I'm going to do it anyway. Well, good for you. That's what the Master expects from you. That's what we're supposed to do. The sages say that Yom Kippur atones for sins committed against God. And Hashem forgives sins committed against him. But he cannot forgive sins committed against others. Instead, we must seek the forgiveness of others first. This is what our master teaches. If you're offering your gift and you're at the altar and offering your sacrifice, and then you remember that your brother has some ought against you, first go and be reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your sacrifice. Usually, those we have sinned against the most grievously, usually tend to be those who are closest to us. Usually, the members of our own household, or our own family, or extended family, or our brothers and sisters in the community, because these are the people we deal with the most. So we have the, you know, and because these are our loved ones, we also have the greatest potential to damage the most. So we have a lot of work to do at this time of year. We apologize and do what we can to make things right, to make changes, make these personal changes in order to ensure that it doesn't happen again. This is part of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Actually, it's really simple. Yeshua broke this down. He said, this is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Let me explain it to you in very simple terms that even a 5-year-old could understand. This is exactly what he said. He said, whatever you don't want others to do to you, don't do that to others. And whatever you would like others to do for you, do that for others. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the teaching of Yeshua. So think about it. When someone has wronged you in some way, someone has hurt you in some way, you would want at least an acknowledgement, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's just like some injustice has been committed against you. Something inside you says, you know what? They should at least admit what they did. Right? An apology. A simple, all I'm asking for is a simple apology, you know? Well, treat others the way you would have them treat you. And that's why you apologize. Yeah, it's very simple. The teaching of our master is so simple and so sweet. It takes these big concepts and makes them very simple. Say, I'm sorry. We tell our children, say, I'm sorry. You know, it's like this huge battle.
I'm sorry.
No, say it like you mean it. I don't mean it. Right? Well, that's the battle, isn't it? I'll give you some advice, though. Don't go apologize to someone for something you did or said that they don't know about. I wish I could tell you how many times people have come up to me during this season and say, I need to apologize for speaking Lashon Hara about you. It's like, I wish you hadn't apologized, because you know prior to that apology, I wasn't thinking, what is so and so saying about me? But you know, so I mean, that's not an appropriate type of apology to make. The person you should be apologizing to is the person that you spoke the Lashon Hara to, the evil speech to, not the so now you just like victimized a person twice. Okay, so don't do that. But you know, if you apologize to someone for some sin you committed against that person, you would hope for some word of pardon and forgiveness, wouldn't you? Like you go up to them and say, look, I'm really sorry about what happened. I know that was out of line. And you hope that the person is going to be, you know, equally magnanimous and say, hey, you know, forget about it. You know, don't worry about it. It's nothing. That's what you're hoping for. So, if that's what you would like, then treat others as you would have them treat you. Someone apologizes to you, you extend forgiveness, and that's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. The teaching of our master is so simple, reduces these difficult things down to such simple, simple ideas. It says, we're to love our neighbors, we love ourselves. How do we love ourselves? Ironically, if you think about this, how do we love ourselves? We love ourselves with a selfish kind of love. How else are we going to love ourselves? You love yourself, that's selfish. It's very selfish of you to love yourself. I love me, you know. Right? Self-love is, by definition, selfish. So when the Torah tells us to apply that selfish love to somebody else, it's saying, I want you to love people selflessly. So you're taking that self-love and putting it on somebody else. That's asking for you to rise to a level of selflessness. And this is a problem. It's very difficult to be selfless. It's very, very difficult. Especially the evil inclination hates that. The evil inclination inside of you says, no, it's all about number one here. It's all about me. It's all about self, 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 right? Well, you know, the Baal Shem Tov teaches that we should not seek to destroy the evil inclination. You actually need the evil inclination. It's an important part of being human. If you didn't have an evil inclination, you wouldn't eat. You know, there's like just basic human functions. It's just part of being human. That what we should do with the evil inclination is not destroy it, but to bring it into subjugation to God, to bring it into subjugation to Hashem, to serve God so that you serve God with your whole heart, with both the evil side and the good side of your heart, to bring it into... Unfortunately, Yeshua teaches us how to do this. There is a selfish advantage to this love thing that we can use to entice the evil inclination to get on board with us. Because loving others has benefits for you. It's not a completely selfless thing after all. The evil inclination, you know, you say, I don't want to be loving. I don't want to be merciful. I want to hold a grudge. I don't want to be charitable. I don't want to be forgiving. What's in it for me? What about me and my feelings? That's what the evil inclination says. But Yeshua says, be merciful so that you may obtain mercy. Forgive others so that it may be forgiven you. Do unto others, and it shall be done unto you. As you judge others, so you shall be judged. As you are kind, so kindness shall be shown to you. With the measure you measure out to others, with the same it shall be measured to you. So there is something in it for you. Some selfish value to acting selflessly. Yeshua says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Right? So this means there's something in it for you, something big. What's in it for you? Tearing up of the evil decree. It's a little secret. In the final judgment, we're not going to be judged on whether or not we had our doctrine straight. I'm pretty sure about this. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be judged on the basis of having all, you know, the perfect theology or having signed on to the correct creed. We're going to be judged on primarily how we treated other people and how we handled our relationships with other people, how we treated the lowly among us and the small among us, and how we responded to those who irritate us and to those who hurt us and to those who anger us. So as we enter these last days before the holidays, I want to take stock of my relationships, and I hope you'll do so as well. Ask yourself as you think back over the previous year, was I loyal to my family and loved ones? Was I a true friend to my friends? Did I forgive injury and insult? Or am I still holding grudges? Did I commit small, petty acts of retaliation? Have I acted in malice toward others? Have I been honest with people? Have I cheated anybody? And so on. Have I refused to forgive? Have I slandered or spoken ill? Have I neglected people? Have I been inconsiderate? And so on and so forth. And then, when you get the answers to those questions, you spend the time to get the answers to those questions. You know, the main thing the devil does, he wants to keep you from spending any time doing introspection. That's job number one. Job number one of the devil is to keep you from spending time, any time, thinking like that. And you should not have those thoughts. Because once you have those thoughts, he knows he's losing ground. So once you've made this, you've done this mental accounting, you do what you can to repair things before the high holy days are over. we make the effort. And when Rosh Hashanah comes and goes, we've done our best. We've done our best for repentance and for prayer and for charity. We've done our part and we've done our best. And we have to admit that ultimately even our best efforts were, of course, inadequate. Nobody's earning their salvation here. We pray, our Father, our King, be merciful and have compassion. We have no worthy deeds before you. That's what we say on the High Holidays. And we pray, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we have confidence to approach the throne of mercy in the name of Yeshua, because he's the one with the voice like a shofar. But we make the effort. It's part of the recipe. We love God with all the heart and all the soul and all the strength that we can muster. Repentance, prayer, and charity. And we love our fellow as ourselves, because to love God with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And one who knows this and does this is not far from the kingdom, not far from the messianic era, not far from the sound of the shofar of King Messiah.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.